Welcome to Body Signals, a Cygnos podcast. I'm your host, Bill Tanzer, Chief Data Scientist here at Cygnos. This is Season 4, Episode 11, Five Lessons I've Learned from Cygnos, a rebroadcast of my summer webinar with registered dietitian and head of Cygnos Nutrition, Alyssa Wilson. We've got a special episode for you today from our live webinar this past June. I've been working at Cygnos for over 3 years now, and I've decided to share the top five lessons that I've learned using a CGM and the Cygnos platform, as well as some of the lessons that we've learned from our very own staff experiments. During this episode, we do reference some slides. I'll provide a link to, in the show description to the original broadcast, as well as a PDF of the reference materials. Stay tuned for some great content and discussion. Now on to today's show. So I am joined by Alyssa Wilson. Alyssa is our registered dietitian and head of nutrition. She's a registered and licensed dietitian. She specializes in weight management and hormonal support and integrative and functional medicine. And she received her master's from Georgia State University. You might recognize Alyssa's voice and her face from Body Signals. She's a common co-host. She's co-hosted so many episodes with me, as well as being a featured guest. So, Alyssa, I am so glad that you're going to join us today on our webinar.
Yes, thank you. So excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm the Chief Data Scientist at Cygnos. My name is Bill Tanzer. I am also the host of the Cygnos podcast, Body Signals. And we are really excited to share some things with you. Before we do that, Alyssa is going to help us with just some house cleaning items in terms of today's webinar. So Alyssa, I'll let you take this next slide.
Yeah. So for those of you on the call, we're so excited to have you. Feel free to ask any questions in the chat. As we're going through this webinar, you can drop your questions there and we will save time at the end for Q&A. This webinar is also being recorded, so we will get a copy to you by the end of the week. And then lastly, this information contained in this webinar is general and it's not medical advice. So if you're experiencing a medical condition or are making any big changes, please consult your physician.
Thank you for those tips. So just some background into this webinar and why we decided to do this. So I'm now over 3 years at Cygnos. So I joined the team as a co-founder back in 2020. And we decided to put together some of the lessons that myself and our team have learned from using Cygnos for an extended period of time. And we will go through these. And well, as Alyssa said, we're going to leave some time at the end for some question and answers if you have any. So let's go on to our first point. There are actually five lessons that we're going to cover. And the first one that I would love to cover, one that is very important to me, is the lesson that everyone is different. Now, one of the studies that we look at a lot at Cygnos is a study that was published by the Weizmann Institute in Cell Magazine. It was in 2015. And the title of the study was Personalized Nutrition by Prediction of Glycemic Response. Really interesting study. If you are interested in reading studies and trials, I urge you to look this one up. But what this group did is they put 800 or CGMs on 800 individuals, and they measured the response of those 800 individuals to over 46,000 different meals. And amongst those 46,000 meals were a lot of food items that were in common. So they looked at the correlation between individuals' glycemic response or how their blood sugar varied after eating similar meals. And what they found was that there was little correlation at all to how people responded. So one person might have ice cream and spike on the ice cream versus pizza and not spike on the pizza, and the other person spiking on the pizza and not the ice cream. One of my favorite things to do as a co-founder at Cygnos is ask people about their own journey and ask them about that first aha moment. And that also has revealed itself to be totally different by individual. You know, someone just last week I was presenting in New York and an individual told me that, hey, I put on Cygnos and I did not spike at all on potatoes. And I've been avoiding potatoes during my entire wellness journey. And now I know I can eat them. What we found, though, is that, like this slide said, everyone is different. You might actually spike on potatoes. So the value that we've learned over the years using Signos is that everyone's different and you got to find what works for you. I might date myself a little bit. I remember the days back when you'd be meeting around the water cooler at work and someone was looking really fit. You know, I might say to them, "Hey, Bob, you look great. What are you doing?" And you say to me something like, "You know, I'm just eating cucumbers," or "I've eliminated potatoes from my diet," and then go home and try that. And it just didn't work. And that's because, as we're making this point, everyone is different. One of the things that we also love to do at Signos is do experiments. And throughout this deck, Alyssa is going to give us some color commentary on some of the experiments we've done as a staff. So Alyssa, why don't you talk about cooked white rice and the study that we, or the little experiment that we did amongst our staff?
Yes. So I want to say all of these experiments are very interesting because they're just so eye-opening about how unique we all are. But this experiment was with freshly cooked white rice. And you can see the drastic difference in the glucose responses between member A and member B. So you're seeing member A that's having a rise, but member B is really having a spike. What's really interesting too is that we actually then cooled the rice overnight to help increase that resistant starch, and kind of same response from member A, where, very similar. And member B had a slight reduction, but you could see how there's such a difference in response by eating the same meal. And this is what's so great about Signos and how we focus on personalized health instead of this one size fits all approach. I know you're talking about, you know, at the water cooler and in the job and everyone trying different things and not working. But as a practitioner, I've seen the same thing firsthand, where you may have someone who, two people, you know, same height and weight, similar activity levels, and you put them on a similar plan with the same calories, and one person loses and the next person may even gain weight. And this all goes back to how we're so unique. And this can be due to so many factors: genetics, our microbiome, our environment, our current health status, body composition, lifestyle. And that's what's so great about Signos, is that within our app, you're able to see your individual response to what you're eating and what's working for you.
Those are such great points, Alyssa. Thanks for giving us that example of that experiment. That was actually one of my favorites. And I think I was actually member A in this experiment. So let's go on to
I was not member B, but I will tell you, my response is more like member B.
Yeah, and so many people are. But again, Everybody is different. And we just want to make that point. That's one of the top lessons I've learned over these 3 years.
Absolutely.
The next biggest one is that I have to admit, when if I go back to the days before I joined Signos, when I thought about wellness and weight loss, I thought primarily about nutrition and never, ever really connected things like sleep or stress or hydration or movement, maybe movement a little bit. You know, I knew I had to exercise. And I'd also heard that axiom that you can't out-exercise bad nutrition. So I knew that. But I had no idea that all these factors were so interrelated. And I think that has been a real eye-opener for me. I think the first time I noticed this is after having a bad night's sleep. And for those of you that listen to Body Signals, you know I love talking about oatmeal. And I've eaten the exact same bowl of oatmeal for years now, every morning. And I had seen a completely different response to that bowl after a bad night's sleep. And this is very early on in my journey. We're going back like to the beginning of those 3 years ago. And I suddenly realized that that lack of sleep probably was responsible for my spike. And there's a lot of research actually that backs that up, that what happens when you have a lack of sleep is your body is really trying to respond to that and is trying to get you to feel more by introducing ghrelin, which is a hormone, into your system, which is a hunger hormone, suppressing leptin, which is your satiety hormone. So things like sleep really are very important. The one that we focus a lot on also is movement. And Alyssa's got a great example for movement and how you can actually see the effect of movement on your glycemic response in an experiment we did with orange juice and exercise.
Yes. So as you can see in the first picture, there is, just an 8-ounce glass of orange juice where you can see it go, glucose going up to 136 milligrams per deciliter. Then taking that same glass, 8-ounce glass of orange juice, and adding a 30-minute bike ride afterwards, you can see no spike whatsoever. So looking at just adding that little bit of exercise, it can make a significant impact on your glucose levels. And this is me saying this as a dietitian, you know, always being focused on the food, but it's so much more than the food. There's so many reasons. There's so many things that impact our glucose levels outside of the food. And just like you mentioned, the sleep, the stress, the exercise, the food, hydration, you know, other reasons, even diving into like how we are eating our meals. So looking at this example, this was one of our team members who ate a homemade blueberry muffin and two eggs in a very relaxed, calm state. And you can see, you know, a very good glucose response to that. Now, take that exact same meal and then eat your breakfast while responding to messages on Slack. So working, maybe in a, I will say, a little bit more of a stress mode, and you can see an increase in glucose from that. So it's not just what we're eating and, you know, it's how we're eating. You know, we want to make sure that we're eating in a calm state so we can properly digest and absorb the nutrients from our meal and away from distractions. So away from your phone, your computer, not working. And as you can see here in one of our experiments, this made a huge difference. So really just diving more into the other things that impact our glucose outside of the food, how we're eating, our sleep. That was such a great example. Our movement, something is just a 30-minute bike ride. You can see how it impacts our glucose. So yeah, these are all fun things to try within our app and see if it helps for you.
I'm so glad that you brought up that example of stress and eating. I've actually changed my morning routine based on this. And this, the stress element of this was a big lesson learned for me over these last 3 years. So my morning routine prior to joining Cygnos was I would wake up and immediately go to email and then Slack and read work messages. And as we see here in this example, that's probably the worst thing to do. I also notice that stress can cause my glucose to go up. So I'm actually on my sensor right now. I'm looking at my glucose. It's coming down, but right before the session started, I was up to like 135 without food. And that's my body releasing cortisol, which causes the glucose to go up. So the other thing that I changed in just my daily habits is when I started to introduce MBSR, mindful-based stress reduction, into my day. So 20 minutes in the morning, 20 at night. You don't need to do that much. You can do just a little bit. But then the other change I made, which actually made a difference, is I started to do that instead of right when I woke up, I did it right before eating breakfast. So I could make sure that I was eating breakfast calm and I was stress-free. And I have delayed opening up my Slack or email until after I finished that.
Yes. And sometimes another little tip that I give is, you know, maybe you take that first bite of your meal and just chew very, very slowly, you know, just to get you in the right mindset of, okay, I'm going to actually take time to finish my meal, not scarf it down, and just eat slower and then see if that helps mitigate the spike as well. And that kind of gets you in that right headspace for when you, and it can increase satisfaction with your meal. So you enjoy it more, you know, instead of being distracted and working. And then you just look down, you're like, oh, my breakfast is gone. I don't even remember eating it, you know?
Yeah. You know, I do that too. And here's a pro tip for everybody within the app. Log your meal before you start. And when you do that, there's a little icon you can press on that gives you a timer for how long has elapsed since you logged the meal. And pre-Cygnos, I think I probably would scarf down an oatmeal in like 5 minutes. And I've been lengthening that to 8 minutes, then 10 minutes, then 12 minutes, and really try to savor that meal and not rush through it. But I think that also is an excellent tip.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's another example. But before we get there, I think one of the lessons I learned, and this also is backed up by data and other research studies, is that if you're on a wellness journey or a weight loss journey, you don't always want to get massive gains in like the first week or two. It's not really about losing 10 pounds in 10 days. And there was an episode that we had with one of our advisors, Dr. Sunil Koliwat, where he brought up the fact that his, in his patient population, those people that made small changes over time actually did a lot better. If they lost weight slowly and steadily over time, they tended to keep it off versus those that made those drastic changes. So one of the things that I love about using glucose as a tool to give you insight into your metabolism is there's all sorts of little tiny changes you can make. We've already mentioned several of them, things like, you know, maybe meditating before eating or incorporating a little movement after you eat, or perhaps just measuring your glycemic responses to a bunch of different carbohydrates and find those that work for you. By finding these little small changes, you can really get on that path of sustainable weight loss and sustainable wellness, which we think is absolutely so valuable. And to give us an example of that, this is one of my favorite experiments that we did as a staff. And this was using apple cider vinegar with a morning treat. So Alyssa, maybe tell us a little bit about this experiment.
Yes. So this one was going to Starbucks, ordering a lemon loaf, eating it on its own. And then you could see a spike up to 163. Then something so small and so simple, such as the same Starbucks lemon loaf, and then adding an apple cider vinegar cocktail, you can see the reduction in the spike, only going up to 118, which is that's a great improvement with such a small change. And Bill, will you tell us a little bit more about what was in that apple cider vinegar cocktail?
Yeah, so I tried this experiment. We actually did this twice because the first time we did straight shots about apple cider vinegar. And I got to say, some people don't mind ACV, as we call it, at all. I do. It's pretty acidic to me. So we came up with a cocktail. If you do like to drink apple cider vinegar straight, one thing I note from my dentist is please use a straw when drinking that apple cider vinegar, or rinse your mouth with water after taking a shot of apple cider vinegar, because it's so acidic, it will eat the enamel on your teeth. But I found a way of getting around that. So first time we did this experiment, we did it with a straight shot. The second time we came up with a mocktail, which actually people reported was pretty enjoyable. And all it was a tablespoon or two of apple cider vinegar with some sparkling water and then some grated ginger and then just a little mint leaf to garnish. And so you have a nice little mocktail to enjoy prior to your meal. And as our experiment reported, it actually did help in reducing glycemic response to some carby foods.
Yeah. And, you know, we like to focus on those easy to incorporate small changes. Even within our app, we provide access to these expert created activities that teach you how these small changes can help you, you know, have more stable glucose. And I like what you mentioned, where it's not, you know, just a quick race to hit your goal right away. You know, we're looking for progress. We're not looking for perfection. And you may enjoy along the way and be surprised how these small changes really do add up over time to where it's sustainable. And I can give just a personal example of, you know, over a year and a half ago when I put the CGM on, you know, I was always having my dinner and then my dessert later at night on its own, you know, put the kids to bed and then just enjoying it. And when I had the CGM on, I saw, wow, that's, you know, I'm spiking, then my sleep's interrupted, I'm not as well rested the next day. But something so simple and such a small change as taking that dessert and putting it right at the end of my dinner, I've saw stable glucose levels after that. And that allowed me to get into better sleep and, you know, feel more rested and the next morning. And it's just that I don't have to eliminate my dessert either. So it's just that small change. And that's something that I was able to easily incorporate. And that's something that I still continue to this day.
I have the exact same experience. So I was doing the same thing, and it's the worst possible time. I always did it at dinner. And growing up, I could not go to sleep unless I had my dessert. And I also would eat a meal and then wait a period of time. So then what I had was a double spike, and a spike really close to when I was trying to get some sleep, which is the opposite of what you want to do. And as we mentioned earlier, sleep does affect how your body reacts the next day. So by combining those both, that was a huge improvement. And what a small change, just eating your dessert with dinner versus after. And there's another couple I'll mention, things like drinking a little bit of water before your meal. So 8 ounces of water before each meal can make a difference. One thing our members report to us makes a huge difference is just taking a walk, getting some movement in after eating each meal. It doesn't have to be rigorous exercise. Sometimes just getting outside and, walking for 10, 15, even 20 minutes is a great way to reduce your glycemic response to your meal. And it's enjoyable. You get some fresh air and it's a small change. So all of these things add up. They do add up to a better wellness journey, a better weight loss journey, but they're small changes and they're things that you can sustain for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Which leads us to our next point, which it's only going to work if it's sustainable. So just going back, back in my career, back in 2005, I was working for a company analyzing search term data. So I was analyzing mostly just Google search term data. And I was getting about 8 million search terms an evening to analyze. And I was using this mostly for tactical reasons. But one day I decided just to put into our database the search term diet to see what happened. And the pattern was amazing. I replicated that with Google Trends data. And if you're on this webinar and want to see this for yourself, just go to trends.google.com, type in diets, and you'll see this trend come out over time. Fascinating to find that what happens when people search on diets, you can probably guess the day that that spike happens. Alyssa, you probably know the day that we reach the highest point in diet searches.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I know. Do you want me to say it? Is it the New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolutions.
Okay, that's
January 1st, of course, is when people's searches on diets spike. And that search lasts for about 5 days every single year. And this pattern goes back 19 years. We see this. It's almost like looking at an EKG, the pattern repeats so much. The low points are also the same. You can probably guess. Thanksgiving's the easy ones. That's the lowest point. The second lowest point. Any guesses, Alyssa?
I would say like Christmas time or?
Yes, no? Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Yeah. And this happens over and over again. I think this chart is kind of a sad story of how we've approached things like wellness and weight loss in the past is that New Year's comes around and we make this resolution. I'm going to finally make some changes. And like we mentioned before with the not making small incremental changes, but going for bust and thinking, okay, I'm just going to eliminate all carbs. I am going to drop my calorie count in half. Those things just aren't sustainable. And if you don't believe me, look at some of the research out there, some of the studies on diets. And, you know, just pick your diet. If there's a study about it, look at the attrition rate in that study. How many people drop off that don't actually complete the study is a great indication of just how unsustainable these things are. So we're really about the anti-diet culture at Cygnos, about finding a pathway for you that will give you these small changes, like we mentioned, to aid in your wellness and your weight loss journey.
Finding what works for you. And it's not going to work for the next person. And breaking free from that yo-yo dieting and just getting off that cycle and just seeing, you know, that's the beauty of this app and seeing in real time what's working for you. And that way it's, you know, you can stop that restriction or that all or nothing approach and just find those small changes, see how you're responding and just slowly incorporate those so their habits and it's sustainable and you don't have to be a part of this graph anymore.
You don't. You know, there's another great study about this, which is the Biggest Loser study. I'm driving our slide driver nuts, but I keep remembering that. But there's so many things I want to mention. I love this topic so much. But there's the Biggest Loser study. I'm sure almost everybody remembers that show, The Biggest Loser, which was all about making those drastic changes. And yes, these individuals lost like over 100 pounds per individual. They actually went back and did a study. I think this was 2019. They published the results of going back and looking at how these people fared after the show. And almost every single one of them not only gained the weight back, but gained additional weight. because when you make these drastic changes, your body is a complex organism, and it tries to adjust to these changes you've made. That can include things like a slowdown in your metabolism, so that when you go back to your normal way of doing things, you tend to gain the weight back and then even more so. Where the difference is, if you make the small sustainable changes like we mentioned in point three, and much more sustainable, your body's not going into shock, and this is something that you can maintain. So this is just, I think, one of the most important points, other than the last point, which is my favorite point. So we can go on now to the next slide in point five. One of the things that I think has been critical to my own wellness journey has been this idea of experiment. And Alyssa has done such a great job of telling us about some of the experiments that we've done at Cygnos. I want to mention my own personal favorite. I tend to describe myself as being an experiential data scientist. I like to actually get down to it and test some of these theories myself. My wife's a saint. She has to put up with a lot because these experiments can take over our kitchen. And they did one day when, this goes back a few years ago, early on in my Cygnos journey, when I was still trying to decide how, I was going to pick what foods to test. And before Cygnos, I used the glycemic index. And if you look up, the glycemic index of an apple, it says that it's 39. And the way the glycemic index works, it's a scale from 0 to 100. I think distilled water would be 0. Glucose would hit 100. I think they also use white bread as 100 on the glycemic scale. So it told me that an apple is 39. I decided to do a little bit of research because I really enjoy apples. And I found that across the globe, there's 7,500 varietals of apples. So you know what I did next? I got in my car and I went to Whole Foods. I went to Ralph's. I went to Gelson's, all the grocery stores in Los Angeles. And I got as many varietals as I could and brought them home. And there they were all on our kitchen island. And my wife comes down and is like, what are you doing? And I wanted to test my response to apples, because my belief was that, going back to point number one, everyone's different. All these apples are different. I wanted to get more insight into how I responded to apples. So then every morning before I had my oatmeal, I had to delay it so I could get a good response. I tried different varietals of apples. And the results were astounding. So astounding, we decided to launch this across our entire staff. And I found that a response to an apple, be it a Red Delicious or a Granny Smith or a Fuji or a Cosmic Crisp, could vary anywhere from upwards to 35 milligrams per deciliter difference in spike. When we launched this experiment to our staff, everyone was different also. And they were different by the different apples. So if I spiked on Cosmic Crisp, Alyssa probably didn't spike on that, and maybe she spiked on a Fuji. So not only is there a huge variance in terms of how we respond to one single piece of fruit, but we also respond differently individual to individual. Kind of an interesting lesson for me in this experiment is one of the places I went to get apples was our farmer's market. And the apples that actually did best for me, this doesn't mean it'll be the best for you, because as point number one says, everyone's different. The heirloom apples that I got at the farmer's market, there's one specific called the Arkansas Black, which was actually a delicious apple, spiked me the least of all of them. I think it was like less than 5 milligrams per deciliter. One of the things that we found, if you're going to look for any trend, is that there are some apples that have been engineered to be sweeter, and yet the heirloom apples really are kind of like still in their original form when we started eating them a long, long, long time ago. Going back all the way time, but Arkansas Blacks are actually common with pioneers because they stored so well. But these apples also are pretty low in sugar. So I was able to find an apple that worked for me. But then I kind of discovered something else that was happening to me as I went down this route of being an experiential data scientist. And that is, I was becoming curious about my own habits, about what I was eating, when I was eating, the difference between an Arkansas Black and an opal apple, for example. And the lesson was that just that curiosity was kind of fueling me. And I had this change in my mindset. So before Cygnos, whenever I had launched a wellness or a weight loss journey, I always kind of dreaded it. It's like, I'm either going to have to work out really hard, or I'm going to have to deprive myself of something. And I didn't look forward to it. Now, all of a sudden, I'm looking forward to my wellness journey because I'm so curious about it. There's a great TED topic on this topic. Judson Brewer, Dr. Judson Brewer, he's a psychiatrist at Brown University. If you go to TED and just type in his name, Judson Brewer, he has this great TED talk about how your mindset and being curious about your habits, the good habits you want to build, the bad ones you want to break, just being curious about it can really change your mindset and fuel your journey. And I know that's worked for us.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really fun, because this is where we are telling you to play with your food. And, you know, it's like maybe something in the, maybe you tried all these different things and some worked and some haven't. Maybe you, you know, just follow the rules. Like you mentioned earlier, you thought you could never have potatoes, so you avoided potatoes. Or we're told the glycemic index of the food, we're told we need to cut 500 calories a day to lose a pound a week. You know, we're following these numbers, but that's not taking into account our bodies, our hormones. We're very complex. We're not just a machine that's calculating numbers in and numbers out. And we're all having different responses. So when you play with your food and you experiment with Cygnos, you're taking the guesswork out of this. And you're finally seeing in real time what is working for you. And this week, we actually heard from one of our members, we hear this all the time, you mentioned it earlier, that maybe you just wanted to avoid this food because it didn't work for your friend, or you heard it was bad. But you may try it on Cygnos and see that it actually works really, really well for you. And, you know, after experimenting, you see that, okay, I actually can eat these foods that I thought I had to give up. And it's freeing and it's empowering. And, you know, there's even taking the experiments, especially with the apples, a step further. Maybe you're seeing a spike to an apple, but once you pair it with protein and fats, you know, maybe a handful of nuts with it, you see that there, that helps to mitigate the spike. You know, you're not seeing as big of a rise. And so that's, you know, that when you have that apple, you want to make sure it's balanced with some protein and some healthy fats. So it's really exciting. It's empowering. It gives you your health, like, in your own hands. So you're not listening to like the numbers or what's worked for someone else. You're seeing exactly what's working for you. And now we're going to take it over to the Q&A. So I see some questions coming in. Okay, the first question. Okay, it looks like, why does monitoring glucose lead to weight loss?
You want me to take that, or would you like to take it, Alyssa?
Either one. I mean, I love this question. I mean, I'll just briefly talk about it, and then you can add on anything.
Yeah, yeah. You start, and I've got some great, great thoughts on this specific question.
Yeah. So, you know, when we're, the whole goal is to have us have stabilized or stable blood sugar levels. We really want to avoid those peaks and valleys where we're seeing, you know, high spikes where insulin's being released. And when we're seeing that over and over and over again, that could lead to insulin resistance down the line. That gets us, it makes it a little bit harder to get into that fat burning zone. It could lead to crashing. It could lead to cravings. When we're kind of, I call it on that blood sugar roller coaster. So when we're aiming for that stable glucose, you know, we're able to get into a good headspace. We're able to get into that fat burning zone. We're being able to get into just feeling good overall. And, you know, seeing what's working for you and what isn't, using the CGM and our Cygnos app is, you know, the best way to find that out.
Those are great points. You know, the other thing that I think is so impactful about glucose and weight management, it involves the question, why do we eat? And I think there's a number of reasons we eat. We eat because we're physiologically hungry. We actually need food to survive. But sometimes we eat because we're stressed. Sometimes we eat for emotional reasons or boredom. Sometimes we eat for situational reasons. Great example. So I mentioned I was in New York last week. I was on a plane. One of my my challenges is travel. So I'm on JetBlue, and those of you who've flown JetBlue, you know they come around with that big basket of things. they're very carby. So they had Pringles potato chips. They had blue corn chips, and they had gummy bears and all sorts of sweet snacks. Very hard for me to turn those things down. But one thing that I found myself doing is actually looking at my glucose at the moment. And I just had a meal and I was pretty high. And that's all I needed to say, no, that's okay. I'm okay now. So it kind of interrupts that cycle. If you do eat for situational reasons, because there's just food there, or if you're, bored, like I get sometimes and walk through my kitchen and just grab something because I'm bored, it really gets you to be a little bit more mindful about your eating habits. The other thing I'll mention, which is really cool about it, and our members mention this as well, is that it's that continuous feedback and almost real-time feedback. So pre-Signos, my only insight into whether or not I was losing weight was getting on the scale, and that's the next morning, and very hard for me to map to the previous day and figure out what did I change. Now, when I combine the glucose data with the scale, I can really come up with some insightful ideas in terms of what I could change to help on my journey.
Yeah. And I always recommend using the notes section, just because we talked about all these other things that impact our glucose levels. So maybe you notice that you're eating all the right things, but like your stress level is that huge barrier to weight loss, and you're seeing increased glucose readings because of stress, or it's your sleep. You know, you're moving your body and you're eating well, and then your sleep is just very poor or interrupted or not long enough. And those are the things that you can note in the app and really see and start to work on using those small changes. So really just taking all that data, for you as an individual is just super empowering. Okay. Let's see. The next question we have is, okay, why is this different than doing a finger stick test?
That's a great question. And you could actually get some of this data with a finger stick test, with a glucometer, which are available in every drugstore over the counter. But there's some challenges to it. One, you're going to be sticking yourself quite frequently in order to get accurate data. So when a spike happens, it can happen depending on what it is that you're eating. The window can vary. So if you don't stick yourself the right time, you might miss the peak of that spike. That's one of the big issues. The CGM that we use gives a reading every 5 minutes. And I don't think anyone wants to be sticking themselves every 5 minutes in order to get that data. But there are some programs that, if you want to just try this out, if you're not ready to make the leap into Signos, you could try a glucometer just to see what your glucose is at. But, I think I would just add the caveat that if you want to capture meal data, you're going to have to measure that glucose pretty frequently, right after you eat, starting maybe 20 minutes out to maybe as long as an hour or two.
Yeah. And I always say that glucometer, that finger prick, is a snapshot in time where the CGM is giving you the full picture. No one wants to wake up in the middle of the night and take a finger stick. So yeah, you're getting the full picture with the CGM. Okay. Let's see. Another question we have is, how do I know what zone I should be in? So when we're looking at, I guess what this person is saying, that like their optimal range for them, which is something that we haven't talked about yet within the Signos app, how you get your own like customized glucose range.
Absolutely. We are calculating it. It's in the app itself. That could be what this individual was asking about. So it's a matter of staying within that zone. If you can stay as much as you can, underneath your weight loss limit on the upper limit, that should aid in your weight loss journey. That being said, we all spike for different reasons. Not all spikes are bad. And I just want to mention, like, if you see after doing rigorous exercise, your glucose going up, that's not something to avoid. Don't stop exercising. What's actually happening is a process called gluconeogenesis, with your liver is taking glycogen. Your liver is one of the main stores or fuel tanks for your body, along with adipose or fat tissue. So what's happening is your body is taking sugar that's in the liver, dumping it into the bloodstream for your exercise and causing a spike. So don't be freaked out by spikes. We're just saying that that's a good rule of thumb to try and keep under that limit. I thought, when I saw this question, I thought the person also might have been asking about heart rate zones. So just to, just briefly, we do prescribe or not, we do give you suggestions within our algorithm as to what amount of movement will help mitigate a spike. And that could range from zone two, zone three, zone four. In general, zone two is a great fat loss zone. That's not all that happens within zone two. You're burning a number of different fuels, including carbs and fat, but the research shows us that doing longer sessions of zone two, which is that pretty light exercise zone, is beneficial to weight loss. But you'll find it within the app itself. After you eat and we detect a spike, we actually will make a suggestion for you.
Yeah. And just to add one last thing to that, with your personalized range, it's in addition to seeing your personalized glucose readings in the app, we are also providing a personalized glucose range for you. So it depends where you're starting at. We've seen members spend only 70-75% in their range and still see results. So it just depends on where you're starting at. But we provide time and range percentages, and we want to aim for a higher percentage. But we are seeing members who are seeing fantastic results. You know, maybe they start at only being in range 60%, but they get up to 70% and they're feeling much better. So we have the goal of the highest percentage in range, but we're really just seeing where you're starting and what your small goals are.
Yes, yeah. Great.
Well, I think that's all we have.
Yeah, if you want to find out more, go to our website, signos.com. We also have a great blog, just with extension blog. And then please sign up for our podcast. You'll find both myself and Alyssa there at Body Signals, which you can find on iTunes or wherever else you enjoy your podcast.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Body Signals. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe to our feed. Also, please share this episode with your friends. For those of you who are not yet Signos members, go to signos.com, signos.com, and use the code BODYSIGNALS, all one word, to get your 15% discount on Signos. We look forward to seeing you on our next episode of Body Signals.